but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
All right, I'm at the whiteout Penn State Beaver Stadium, and of course you see the Penn State fans, and you see the whiteout and the tailgate, you see Dan Lanning and the Ducks, but you also get to see media members. Bree Amaranthus, who is the publisher of the Oregon Ducks Sports Illustrated website, was there. She was on the scene. She has covered Oregon for years, and she's joining us here in this segment. All right, give us your experience. How did you get to Beaver Stadium? Hey. Let's start there.
Yeah. Can you believe what a 36 hours that was for most people who yes. went into that game? I'm pretty sure I personally, and I think you did too, John, had 2 hours of sleep yes. or something like that.
Right.
It was just an incredible experience. I felt like it had all of the pageantry. You can tell that Penn State put so much money into it, and it kind of reminded me of a little mini Dallas Cowboys. I covered the Cowboys for 5 years, and it kind of reminded me of that. It was like cheerleaders doing jump splits. There was fireworks. I was just kind of ready for Jerry Jones to pop out at any minute.
I didn't think it was that loud, and I expected it to be louder mm-hmm. with 111,000, but Autzen plays louder to me. How did it sound to you?
Okay, I'm sure a lot of Duck fans like to hear that take too.
Yep.
So I agree with you. It is the second loudest experience for college football for me. I think Oregon, Ohio State last October takes the cake. But I will give flowers to Penn State, especially right near that student section. So I was down on the field for the final 5 minutes and then overtime and pregame and all of those times. And if you were by the student section, it was louder than other parts of the stadium. But I still think Oregon, Ohio State is the number one loudest college football experience. That was just I felt like my ears were bleeding, truly. that was an insane experience.
Oregon wins this game. In the aftermath, Dan Lanning's emotional, Dante Moore is emotional. Mm-hmm. Why do you think there was such an emotional outpouring on the field?
Yeah, that game was such a roller coaster. Like I said, I was on the field for the last 5 minutes of the game and overtime. And even as a reporter, I was feeling some of those feelings where you're just feeling the highs and the lows. And I cannot even imagine as a player or as a coach. I rushed the field, and I first ran into Kenyon Sadiq, who was screaming, "It's not so happy anymore." And then I ran into the center, Poncho, who just was letting out this huge, deep scream. Saw Coach Lanning celebrate with his wife and athletic director Rob Mullins. Saw Dante, who he had that emotional experience, but then at the end, he was also so calm. It was pretty crazy. But I think just the reason, I really do think that they put every ounce that they had into that game, and just the release, especially Dante Moore, who you can tell has a newfound confidence this season, but you can tell he also shoulders a lot of pressure. And I think we've all been in experiences in our lives when you're feeling that pressure and then you don't even really feel that you're holding it until it's over, and then you just release. And you kind of saw him just fall into the arms of Coach Lanning and offensive coordinator Will Stein. And you could just tell it was that type of release. It was a once-in-a-lifetime type experience, and it's definitely one of those reasons that you're happy the Oregon joined the Big Ten.
Oregon's built different this year. And in 2015, they go to the national title game and lose to Ohio State. They got pushed around. 2011, they got pushed around by Auburn. they now look physically built to do the pushing. Mm-hmm. And they did it against Penn State. But again, I'm looking back to last year, like maybe you are, and I go, okay, they were 13-0. They looked like they were great. And then they face planted in the Rose Bowl. Are you at all worried about the length of the season, the catharsis on the field being kind of like, hey, we've done something when we know the playoff games are the games that count?
Yeah, it is interesting. The seasons are a lot different now than they used to be. It's crazy to me that they're 11-0 all time in Big Ten play. Big Ten play, by the way. Like, how nuts is that? Undefeated in a new conference is wild during the regular season. I look at this team, and I just always think back of when Oregon was first joining the Big Ten conference, and the biggest storyline was, are they physical enough? Can they, you know, push around these big physical Big Ten teams? And obviously they proved in their first season, they won the Big Ten, that they could. I asked Coach Lanning about that. I sat down with him a couple months ago and I said, hey, have you been asked if you're physical enough yet this season? And he kind of laughed. He said he hadn't heard that one yet. But I do think there's something to be said about having moments like the week that we're entering right now, this bye week, where you can take a breather and really come down from this massive win. It is a marathon. It is not a sprint. I think Nick Saban talked about it. A lot of people talked about how Oregon's path in the college football playoff may not have been the best situation for the Ducks. And I do think because of that, this year, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on what path Oregon in particular has in the playoff. So I think that's going to be interesting. And of course, they're going to keep reworking the schedule. And we're in a new era, you know, of NIL and transfer portal and all of this stuff that is making the sport better, in my opinion. But I do think there'll still be some shifting. And I think the beauty of Coach Lanning is he does such a great job of being able to roll with those types of punches and really see the bigger picture. And he knows it's a marathon. He's not trying to sprint. And I think that's where a lot of those motivational tactics come in. And just, you know, they have such a great staff that is all in tune with all of that good stuff. I feel like I need to like, hey, can you guys take a look at my vitals? but yeah, I do think I'm not concerned over the length of the season in short.
Bree Amaranthus is our guest, publisher of the Oregon Ducks Sports Illustrated website. You've had a chance to talk to quite a few Oregon players about Dan Lanning. What do they say about him?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite questions to ask Oregon players is just what makes your coach unique? Because he comes in, it's his first head coaching gig. He's obviously different from the jump. And he's young, right? And that's different for a lot of these players. They haven't necessarily always had young coaches. And so I talked to Bryce Betcher last season. I said, how would you describe Coach Lanning? He called him psycho. And I said, well, is that a good thing? And he said, yes, he means it as a compliment. This year, I rounded back with Bryce. Is Coach Lanning still psychotic? And he says, yes. And then he made up a new nickname for him and he called him a meathead nerd. And I think just psycho meaning like, you know, he rips off his shirt in the middle of a freezing cold practice when he feels like the practice is a little bit lackluster just to get the energy going. He just does things that other coaches aren't doing. Kenyon Sadiq, he told me a story about a Rose Bowl practice just this last December. And he said the practice was pretty sloppy and it wasn't up to the standard. And so all the players were about to head back in and Lanning stopped them. He said, nope, put the pads back on. We are restarting the practice. And of course, all the players kind of look around at each other like, is he serious? Like we just had a full practice. And yeah, that is exactly what they did. And so I think there's these little things that happen. And Sadiq said as much. He said, you know, Coach Lanning is just willing to do those extra things for them that maybe other coaches aren't willing to do. You could just tell he really loves this team. And every season I cover Coach Lanning, I'm like, wow, he really loves this group of guys. And then I'm like, the next year comes by, I'm like, oh no, it's this group that he really likes. And I'm coming to learn just from covering him. No, I think he's just that passionate about every player that he coaches. And that's, it's really special. I think you look around college football and not all of the coaches are in it for the players. Some of them are in it for themselves. Some of them are in it for the own glory or whatever. And I don't think Coach Lanning has that bone in his body. Look at Bear Alexander. Played for 3 different college teams, Georgia, USC, comes in, so much drama with the Trojans. He asked a red shirt. Lincoln Riley is now asking for changes to the red shirt rules. He gets to Oregon, all of the drama quiets. Coach Lanning gives him a fresh start. Bear gets to work, and it's showing. I think Bear was the ultimate test for Lanning's culture, and I think that we're seeing that that culture is passing with a A-plus as far as Bear Alexander is concerned.
Bree, the Ducks versus them videos come out every week and the fans eat them up. They're doing a nice job with it. There's a high production value. What's going on behind the scenes at Oregon with this stuff?
I love them. Do you watch them, John?
Yeah. I mean, it's like watching HBO's Hard Knocks. I mean, it's the cinema and the value and the production value, the investment they're making in it. And I kind of wonder, I don't think they're for me. I don't think they're for you. I think they're actually for the families of recruits and future recruits and saying, hey, you come to Oregon, we'll showcase you.
Oh, for sure. I 100% agree with you. When I was talking with Lanning in April, I asked him, what are the recruiting benefits of these videos? Because obviously Oregon's on the forefront of this. Not a lot of other programs are doing this. And he downplayed it a little bit, but he did say, you know, it takes you behind the scenes. You don't have to tell a recruit's mom what Autzen Stadium is like. You know what Autzen Stadium is like because you're seeing it. You see what a pregame speech is like. You see what practice is like or all the meetings. And so, yeah, I think there's a huge recruiting benefit. They just dropped the newest one for the Penn State game. And I will say, I feel like everybody was just... people wanted it to be released on Monday, and it wasn't released on Monday. Then people wanted it to be released on Tuesday. Finally, it comes out Wednesday, so everybody's just been dying to watch this thing. And I was just, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I was very impressed with the freshmen. DeCorian Moore is taking the time to lock in with Dante Moore in overtime. You know, it's like DeCorian Moore is 17 years old.
Yeah.
It's crazy. D'Arre Hill has that great moment with Kenyon Barner where it's kind of this passing of the torch moment. And Oregon's video team does such a beautiful job of finding these moments. It's so beautifully shot. A couple other takeaways I had. Coach Lanning called Will Stein the best offensive coordinator in the country. He called Tosh Lapoy the hardest worker he's ever met. And then I think just the way that he's helping Dante's confidence is super admirable. I think Dante, and Dante's talked about this at UCLA, really lost quite a bit of confidence. And he's rebuilt that through Lanning's culture and through healthy ways. And man, did it show on Saturday.
Bree, the kickoff time for the Indiana game is 12:30. I never thought I'd hear this, but I have some Duck fans that are complaining about the early kickoff time. There's some late kickoff times, of course. What's the ideal kickoff time? They're kicking off for you at Autzen Stadium. What time is kickoff?
Ooh, that's a great
question. Set it up. You get to set it up.
Yeah.
Be selfish. Consider your workflow, everything.
Yeah. Okay, because like late games really stink for reporters. And then early games, it's just like you're not quite set up. So I'm going with a 3:30 kick in Autzen Stadium. I think it's the most perfect. You get the sun setting. You're done at a normal hour. It doesn't ruin your entire Sunday, but there's a great buildup. I think a 3:30 p.m. kick is perfect. I was shocked to see that kickoff time, by the way, because it's the same time as Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you always look at what's the strategy. It's always TV. It will always be TV.
Yeah.
Look, you were covering this team years ago as a young reporter. Mm-hmm. You're back as a publisher with this Oregon Ducks Sports Illustrated site. How different does the program feel to you versus maybe the first time you left it?
Oh, my gosh, night and day. And I don't know if that's as much as just, you know, my own experiences as a reporter covering the NFL and then coming back to college, but I think it also has a lot to do with the program. I mean, Coach Lanning takes the time to sit. I've had multiple one-on-one sit downs with him where there's not a time limit. It's 20 minutes. It's 30 minutes. I never had a sit down with Chip Kelly, Mark Helfrich, you know, and I think there's just a different vibe around Oregon football. I think the national brand has never been stronger. You know, all over the country, people are really learning a lot about who are the Ducks? What is Autzen Stadium? What is Eugene like? What are the trees? You know, all of these, everybody already knew about the uniforms, but I think it's everything else that's really starting to catch on. And I think we're in for a good stretch here of Oregon football. I mean, the transition to the Big Ten couldn't have gone any better. I think it's great when you see Coach Lanning and people like Ohio State coach Ryan Day having, you know, they go golfing and they have this great mutual respect for each other. I think it's cool for Oregon fans to get these new experiences going to, you know, a Penn State wideout or Michigan Wolverines game. I mean, there's so much difference around the program just by joining the Big Ten. And then also just NIL has really changed it. I mean, now you have a player like Dante Moore who could stay another year because maybe it makes a, you know, they can NIL package him enough where he doesn't go to the NFL. And so I think, yeah, you're just getting, it's such a good program. You can tell Coach Lanning is running it the right way. And I'm really enjoying it, selfishly.
Bree, I appreciate you making time for us. Thank you. Good stuff.
Yeah, thanks, John.
All right, leave it right here. You got more of the bald-faced truth ahead. Pac-12 versus Mountain West. What does it really mean? What happens next? Well, I think it's a little bit about the Squid Games. I'll tell you what I mean coming up.